ובכן חברים, אנחנו היום מתחילים את השיעור שעדיין זה לא הכנס הצפון אמריקאי, אבל בכל זאת אחד מהשיעורים המקדימים לכנס. אנחנו נעים אתכם בשידור חי בכל הרשתות שלנו בעולם לקבוצות ואנשים בודדים, שזה מאות אלפים שנמצאים איתנו יחד עכשיו וצופים בנו, וגם כן בישראל כל הקבוצות שלנו וגם בטלוויזיה בשידור חי אנחנו נמצאים. לפי בקשה של ההנהלה שלנו מישראל, אני קיבלתי רשימה של 4 מאמרים מהשמעתי, מספר שמעתי, שהם ביקשו שאנחנו נעבור עליהם ונקבל איזה בירור. אז אני בעצם זה מתכוון לעשות.
That's what I intend to do.
יהיה מקום גם כדי לשאלות.
There will be room for questions too.
כמה שתרצו.
As much as you want.
No. השיעור הוא בערך יהיה כשעה וחצי, ויכול להיות שנעריך אותו גם כן. הכל תלוי בכם. ובכלל בכל ה...
So it's up to you and all the friends in the world. If you'll have any questions or anything, we'll continue. So let's get started. So the first article we're going to read is in Shamati, article number 98. In Shamati, it's on page 232. Spirituality is called that which will never be lost. These are quite complicated articles, they're not for beginners. So it probably means that those who are here are already with us in the study. And if something won't be clear, so what can we do? This is an advanced material. So we'll try to read it as much as we can. Article 98, Shamati. Page 232, spirituality is called that which will never be lost. Well, we need to give an introduction here. Now we're studying from science, from quantum physics, especially, well, we never thought that physics can give us something of mystic, something beyond what we could measure, feel, see, taste, smell. Which is something, well, science is something very solid, very serious. Everything is in measurements, statistics, with all the tools we can trust, and all of a sudden, in the last few decades, we discover more and more, especially through physics and quantum physics, which deals with small particles of matter, and it tells us all of a sudden that there is no matter, there are no particles. It only seems to us this way. And beyond this matter, all we have is frequencies, and they too disappear, and there is this force. And everything like vibrates and turns into nothing. It's surprising, but it's been this way 100 years ago since we've started discovering all these phenomena that matter is matter or frequency, and now we understand that the matter that we now feel is only in our emotions. And actually this is this kind of energy, and we too are energy. What we call qualities, attributes in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and there is the quality of receiving, the quality of bestowing, the bestowing force, the receiving force, plus, minus, and the entire reality is comprised from these two forces. And when we feel reality in the form of, in a more solid way, this is because we feel it this way, but really it's only with respect to us who feel. Therefore, the article is a bit hard for beginners, but you should listen to it still. I heard it tens and even hundreds of times before I understood what it's talking about. Because the understanding, it comes gradually to the extent that we want to come to know the material and where we are. And then gradually we draw upon ourselves step by step this influence of this spiritual energy, spiritual force from a higher degree, which changes our qualities, and then we can feel the matter and the force behind the matter, and we begin to feel the force of bestow, the force of reception, and how these two forces are connected, and this is how we build us and the entire reality which we feel, which is comprised from these two forces. Therefore, Baal HaSulam writes the following. Spirituality is called that which will never be lost. Why will it never be lost? Because this is the fundamental force that exists in reality. Hence, the will to receive in the form it is in, like we feel it, which is in order to receive for himself, is called corporality. It is so because it will be cancelled from this form and will adopt the form of in order to bestow. So, we have the feeling, the quality, which is called receiving. Our whole life, all of our emotions are in observing, receiving, wanting to receive, wanting to feel everything within us, and what we feel within us, what we can capture within us. This is where we have the image of this world from. And that image, of course, it's not real, because we don't know this energy that exists around us, this force that exists. It is an opposite force from us. It is a bestowing force. It's a force which completely works differently from us, and what we receive from it is a tiny replica, very small replica, which is felt in our receptacle vessels. Therefore, the reality where we feel ourselves and the world is so small, so low, so gray. So Kabbalists tell us, those who attain the broader true reality which exists, the eternal reality. So, on the one hand, as much as our world is the smallest, the lowest, the worst, there is nothing worse than this. Well, at least it can calm us down, because there is something better than what we have right now. And spirituality is attained to the extent that we attain the force of bestowal, the other force. So from the entire reality that we have from above downward, the lowest degree is the degree which we now feel, and it is felt in us in our will to receive entirely. And the rest of the degrees, other than our world, we feel if we acquire the will to bestow. And in the will to bestow, we have 125 degrees, because the will to bestow is vast, is huge. And we gradually open it up, one degree after another, until we come to the complete perception of reality in order to bestow, which is called the world of Ein Sof. And then our world is cancelled. And everything that we feel in the world to receive disappears. So we need to take as an assumption for the time being that the way we feel ourselves and the world and everything that I now feel, this is something temporary, changeable, can be changed a lot, greatly. Well, everything changes. There is no trace will remain from the way I feel myself and this world. Scientists are talking about it. There are many articles about it, especially from physics. And really, the advance, they come closer to the border between our corporeal world and the spiritual world. And there in that border, they begin to guess what can be the opposite thing. Only the tools to cross the barrier, the border between our reality, which we feel in our qualities of this world, the receptacle qualities, to the reality that we will feel in the quality of the soul, they can cross it. And this is why it is called machsom, a barrier. Because in order to cross it, we need a special method called the wisdom of Kabbalah, a method that allows us to accept, to receive that reality which exists on the other side, that world. It's also called an upside-down world, an opposite world. And Baal HaSulam continues and says, a real place in spirituality is called the place of reality. It's a bit twisted sentence. Why? Because a place is called a desire. So now I live inside my will to receive, to observe, to taste, to see, to feel. Everything is for myself. As much as enters my five senses, this is what depicts for me the picture of me and myself and the world. And if my desire changes, then it means that I really reach this new place. I have this new field where I feel another different reality. Therefore, he says that a place of spirituality, reality is called the place of reality. Since anyone who comes there to that place, to these new qualities, it is as if he comes to a new place. He discovers new pictures, images himself, and he feels the world differently. He sees the same form as the other, like someone else who is in that place, in the same desire. So if in this world, let's say I was just in South America and I can speak to someone who was there and we're talking, we understand each other and what we mean. So in spirituality, I can speak only to someone who's also in the place where I am. Perhaps he moved up, perhaps he's in the same place, but if we're in the same place, meaning with the same qualities, then we have the same perception, the same understanding, the same feeling, the same reality. We feel the same world. And then we have something to talk about. So from here we understand how much we do not understand what Kabbalists are writing in their books. Because they are talking about the stages they've been through, about this new reality where they feel themselves not according to this body, rather they feel differently, they feel the world differently. And this is what they're talking about, writing about in their books. And we don't understand it. We reread it, and we always imagine for ourselves as if they're talking about something which we know more or less from the elements of this world. And this is what we want to comprise the spiritual picture from, and it is completely not similar to anything that we have here in this world. Therefore, until we won't reach a certain, this place which all the Kabbalists are talking about in their books, we don't understand what they're writing about. And therefore, when we are reading a book, so also if I have enough spiritual strength, I can understand, even know, which altitude did the writer reach, from where he's writing. He does not attain anything higher than that, and he attains till that place. A good example for that we have from the book The Gates of Intentions of Bala Sulam, where he disagrees with another great Kabbalist, the Rashash, but who wrote about things which he attained and a bit higher than what he have achieved. And he wrote about those higher degrees which he did not achieve. And he thought that what he was writing was true. And Bala Sulam disagrees with him completely, and he says that here he is wrong. And that indicates that a person have attained thus far, and was a great Kabbalist, but not more than that. Therefore, we need to understand that the entire perception of reality and spirituality depends on qualities that a person attains, qualities of bestowal. And as much as he attains from this 125 degrees, this is what he's writing about. Therefore, there is no dispute between Kabbalists in what they attain. Unlike in our world, in something which we can clearly measure and see, because spiritual attainment is something very realistic, very practical, to the very depth of this degree which is being attained. And therefore Bala Sulam says that there is no imagination here, rather only reality. And when we refer to the 70 phases, 70 degrees, he says that in each and every degree we discover a different level of reality. Let's say the Torah which we read, Moshe, when he wrote the Torah, so he wrote about the creator who created Adam HaRishon and other things, and what happened later on in Babylon, things that happened before him. How did he know about what happened before him and what people used to say to each other? How did he know all that? So the moment you reach a spiritual degree, for you there is no past, present and future. Rather, you feel the reality as a whole, complete thing. And not like it evolves like watching a movie which develops according to the scale of time. And here the scale of time does not exist. Only we feel it this way in our senses. This is how we operate. Our desire develops this way. But those who reach the spiritual perception, therefore, if one is in a certain degree, so all those in the world who reach that degree from Adam HaRishon till the end of reality, till the end of correction, they see, they understand, he knows them, and then he is in a natural contact with them. Therefore, it writes in the Torah, it says in the Torah, what Abraham told Yitzhak. How did they know what they told each other, even though it happened 1,000 years before the Torah was written, and they knew exactly what happened to each and every one? Because someone who attains that degree attains that reality and what it means, the force of Avraham, the force of Yitzhak, and therefore they have communication between them. And this is what it writes about. So if we attain a spiritual degree, for us, all of history becomes reality, because there is no history, there is no time. It is simply the development of the degrees which we go through. Our will to receive keeps evolving, like we are with you right now. We
receive within us changes, and as it changes, the constant light affects it, but because the desire is changing, it discovers itself with respect to the light in different pictures each time. And it changes more and more to the point that it seems to us that we experience these changes as though it is history in our life and a development from past to present to future. But in fact, it's the development of our desire. There is no time passing by here. The desire is changing, and besides the desire, there is nothing. And so it simply emerges through cause and effect and so on. So if we, so to speak, accelerate time now, which means influence the light to change us, to accelerate the development of our desire so that it starts running faster and faster within, then we'll go through states and we'll go through them in a pleasant and desired manner, and we'll quickly reach such states which the whole of humanity will only go through in perhaps 100 years. And we can go through them within, say, half a year or a year. This is what we call Israel, meaning those who are drawn to the Creator, are hastening times. All in all, they're hastening the influence of the light over their desire, and then the desire unfolds faster. Which means the corrections that it goes through happen faster. And that means that we as if discover the future. So, if we come to spiritual degrees like that, we will also know what all of history said, which will not be history for us. We will go through these levels, these steps, and then simply view reality. However, those who came to the degrees where Abraham was, they see and feel and know what Abraham knew and saw, and what, for instance, he said to Isaac and so on. Meaning, everything evolves in a clear manner towards the one who attains it. And that's how it is with regards to all the books that we study from. So he gives an example. It's like someone who comes to London. So he's familiar with what's happening there and he can discuss it. And it's the same with spiritual degrees. And this is basically what the article is about. Spirituality is called that which will never be lost. What does it mean, never be lost? Because all the degrees, which besides the one felt in our will to receive now, are the development of the will to bestow, which is the only thing that is in control. So that's the first article. Perhaps if you have a few questions about this, and then we'll move to the second article. How are we going to ask questions here? Let's see. Okay, so we have our friend here. Good. Those who want to ask a question, shoot a question.
Mi nombre es Bárbara, del grupo de Miami. Tengo una pregunta. En este mundo yo puedo distinguir qué es derecha e izquierda. Bien o mal. Pero en el mundo no sé qué es bueno o qué es malo, cuál es la línea derecha, si es la derecha. Si es el creador o es el faraón.
Bárbara, me Miami, y yo el de Anglit.
Entonces, ¿cómo no perderme en ese mundo y poder ir directo al creador?
She's saying that it's hard for her to identify what is good and what is bad, what is the left line and the right line.
So, what is good, bad, right line, left line? We define these only with respect to the purpose of creation, attaining the purpose of creation. I don't know what is good or bad. If I'll measure it based on my qualities, it will simply be a false, because every time I change, something else is better for me. And who said that it's really good? We see this with children. Every time they ask for something else, and is it really for their benefit? Depending on the conditions in the world. So we see that if our will to receive is what we use to start checking what is good for it or bad for it, then perhaps our desire is demanding something good for it for that specific moment. But on the whole, it's bad for it, because there are other conditions that don't allow me to live by the specific fulfillment right now. Therefore, we have to measure ourselves with respect to the goal. And this is also how we are in our world, looking at our development towards a goal, a desired goal, a positive, necessary goal that I aim for. If I'm directed to it in a good way, then what's good for this type of development, that's what I call good. And whatever harms my development in that way is called bad. So good and bad can be measured according to my belly, meaning my will to receive. And then I will not go too far. We see that there are laws in the world which go against my egoistic desire. Yet, I have to take these laws into account, which are outside of me, and see what is really good for my development, and measure it that way. We see how much humanity makes mistakes and suffers. And the main thing here is that it suffers without any good result. There's no benefit for that suffering. I know that when I go to work, I work hard. It's hard for me. It's exhausting. Yet, I get some benefit from it, because later I can rest and I can do some things I want. So we always have to weigh, measure what is worthwhile. Our lives, if we really try to go to the bottom of the matter, it's not worthwhile, because we always suffer and suffer until we die. And we always try to enjoy a little bit more, as much as we can, or suffer less, more accurately, as much as we can. And at the end, well, we see what the end is. And so if I measure what is good for my corporeal life here, I will not find truth, meaning this kind of good will be false. In order to truly measure what is good, I have to attain the true goodness, spiritual goodness, which is eternal, which will never be cancelled, never be lost, which is always in existence, which I necessarily have to come to, like it or not. It's into the laws of nature. So my problem is really first clarifying the truth. in as objective manner as possible. And this is basically from the books. Two, to accept this truth as a mandatory goal that is in front of me, whether I like it or not. I was put in this state I am, and I'm told, you're going to reach that state anyway. I have no choice. Now, I can close my eyes and simply live by the moment, and whatever happens, happens. This will be false. Could be sweet for now. Children act that way, or unevolved people. If I put this mandatory, necessary goal in front of me, which is given to me in advance, and I begin to direct myself to it, even though I don't want that, because I have no choice, I have to reach it after all. And if I don't aim myself towards it, I suffer blows, which do correct my aiming towards it. So how will I avoid blows and reach the goal? Perhaps there is a way to do that. So then I'll gain in having a good path towards it, and reaching that goal in a good way, so that it seems to me good. Meaning here, I have to persuade myself that developing towards this goal is good, and the goal itself is good, simply because I have no other choice. I will take that path. It doesn't depend on me. So how will I do this? So you're told by the environment. I can set myself up in such a way that I'll advance correctly towards the correct goal in a beautiful way, joyfully, positively, with no suffering, with no problems, and always being excited towards it, expanding my reason and perception and sensation, and only benefit from it. And all of this depends on building the environment around me to aim me and support me directly towards that goal. This is called truth and good together. That's what we want to reach. So, basically, we are the biggest egoists. And what we're making for ourselves here is the best thing possible. And indeed, the purpose of creation is to enjoy. It's called to delight the creatures. That's why we've gathered here, in order to clarify to ourselves what is the goal and how do we beautifully, simply, joyfully, as much as we can, in a smooth and happy path, reach it. This is called truth and goodness together. Well, another question, and then perhaps we'll move on to the next article. Whoever wants to ask simply gets up and goes to the microphone. And please try to ask and make it a question, not a story.
Okay, my question is, okay, if we hasten time, as you talked about, going through states really quickly, how will we be able to help humanity being one step ahead of them? As usually people don't seem to listen to people who are talking about long-term views.
We will talk in this convention about how do we approach humanity and explain it to them. But we're not talking about the long term, forward. We are talking about steps which the current reality is forcing us, all of us to take. We're not talking about the future, somewhere over there, and oh boy, you have to do this or that, otherwise things will be bad, you don't want to continue this way. We're not trying to prove something to anyone and give, you know, ethics or morals. There's no warnings here. We are already in such a state in humanity where it's simply helplessness, we can call it. And if it's not so clear to the common person, in some of the countries or depending on a person's development, but it's becoming clearer and clearer day by day, and to the broad population, and the media starts talking about it. I know these scientists are all discussing it. What I said 7 or 8 years ago about the global crisis, people would laugh. They would say, what crisis you're talking about? Yeah, true, there are some problems here and there, but what crisis? A crisis is, you know, something really like where everything is shattered, ruined. What ruin are you talking about? Everything is developing, it's all good. From day to day, year to year, there's prosperity. Until today, people are already discussing it, yet they don't know what to do. They're trying to cover it up. So, we're not trying to approach people and tell them something about the future or long term, let's do this or that. Today, we are approaching humanity, and basically, we want to present them with a remedy, a cure. Very simple. That as much as they feel themselves sick and they want to be healed, to that extent, they can think about this and understand this. And mostly understand that what we're saying is very logical, to the point, and in their benefit. And it's not that we have some sort of a hidden motive maliciously to get some benefit out of it or something else. These are things that scientists agree with, sociologists, psychologists, many economists, financial experts. These are things that are already being monitored and analyzed by human intelligence and science. So, today we've reached a point where we just need to find a clearer language, a better address, approach. It's just about communication. It needs to be better towards the common people because we're very kind of far and high. Yet, basically, the people themselves already begin to be ready for this, for the seeding of our information. Yes, please.
מגדיר לאיזה דרגה מקובל יגיע במשך חייו.
The person himself. Only the person himself determines what degree he can attain. There is no limitation from above. According to what we learn, how from the world of Ein Sof, all the vessels and souls descended below to the point of this world, and from our world, we have to rise back up. So, this path has to take 6,000 steps, or what we call 6,000 years. Years or steps is the same. We interpret it as years, but in fact, it's not years. It's steps, degrees. Starting from the first correction, which is called Adam HaRishon, the first man, which was a man that lived about 5,772 years ago, to our time. Many have already corrected themselves, And Rashmi, for instance, with his group of students, they reached all the 125 degrees, which means complete correction. Some were corrected partially. Each and every person, once he is given the chance, just everyone who is in contact with us, listening to us, hearing us, feeling us through the study, somehow hearing about the purpose, he has a chance. From that moment, the ball is in your court. And now the person has to start working. Which means what? One has to, well, in order to develop faster than the regular process, you have to set up.
אני רואה שהיא לפניי, שהיא הכרחית, שאין לי ברירה והכל, אבל אני לא רוצה, אני רוצה לסגור עיניים בינתיים להיות במה שאני. כי כל דבר להתקדם למטרה זה נגד הטבע שלי. זה בזה שאני צריך לעזוב את הדברים הנעימים וללכת נגד מה שטוב לי. כי רצון להשפיע שאני צריך להגיע אליו, הוא נגד, הוא לא רצוי. איך אני אעשה את זה? איך אני אחייב את עצמי לרצות מה שאני לא רוצה? האם זה אפשר? ככה לוצא את עצמי בסערות, להעלות את עצמי למעלה? זה אי אפשר. כן? ניסית? לא הולך. זאת אומרת, אני צריך איזשהו כוח חיצון שיקח אותי ויעלה אותי למעלה. איך? איפה אני אמצא אותו? ואם אני אמצא כוח הקיצון, איך אני אחייב אותו? איך אני אנהל אותו? כי זה חייב להיות התפתחות שלי אישית, שאני דרך כוח הקיצון הזה פועל על עצמי, שזה יהיה שלי, כי התפתחות חייבת להיות שלי. אני צריך להתפתח. אז לכן נעשתה הכנה מלמעלה בהשתלשלות לפנינו של המדרגות ועולמות, שקרה שבירה, ושקרתה השבירה, יש לי הזדמנות עכשיו על ידי זה שאני אוסף את החלקים שנמצאים כאילו מחוץ לי לסביבה, אני בזה בעצם משפיע על עצמי. וכך אני מארגן השפעה על הרצון שלי, השפעה חיצונית, שהרצון שלי יגדל יותר ויהיה מכוון יותר למטרה, אפילו שאני מלכתחילה לא רוצה. זאת אומרת, אני נמצא בהשפעת הסביבה.
So I'm under the influence of the environment, and if I will organize the environment that it will influence me, that it will brainwash me in such a way that the goal is important, and those who are going for it are great, and those who discover it and enter it are huge and have unity and wholeness and all. If the environment keeps brainwashing me, then eventually it reaches my heart, my desire, and I begin to want. It takes time.
a long time. But it eventually works. And then instead of tens of years and even hundreds of years, in just 15 years, 20 years, I reach the goal. I hasten time. I do it in a fun way instead of blows, because evolution by nature is only through beatings, through sufferings. That's the only way nature can work. To keep adding a desire without a fulfillment, that means to add sufferings, blows. And I do the opposite. I awaken the desires myself through the environment. I want the goal by myself, meaning I'm drawn to it before the blow comes my way from behind, and this is how I develop. Therefore, the hastening of evolution comes only by organizing oneself in an environment. Therefore, we gather here from all over the world, and we really try as much as we can to influence ourselves through the environment. Let's say there are 700 people here. Let's say me personally, I want to receive an inspiration from everyone else, and that will give me the ability to want the same goal which I myself would have never wanted to want. Okay, so let's read another article. We just read one article. Okay. The second article, let's change topics. I was asked to read article Kuf Tzadikhet 198, which is called Freedom. It's not far away from the question we just spoke about. It's on page 352 in Shamati. Freedom is a very important topic. We see in life, in our world, in the still vegetative and animate, they have no freedom. Which freedom does the inanimate have? It is under the forces of nature, which we learn in physics, chemistry, biology, botanics, zoology. They have no freedom. These are inner forces, instincts, clear laws, absolute laws, which compel them to exist the way they do. We take any animal, any vegetate, any steel, rock, mineral, and we research it and we have a clear knowledge of what is going on. About ourselves, we have this uncertainty because we cannot research ourselves. We can only research from above downward. I can research little kids because they're small. They're like animals, little animals. Their behavior is simple. It's done through instincts. Therefore, I can learn kids and how they're going to behave, what they're going to do, what is their thoughts are and desires. With adults, grown-up people, it's a problem because we need to be in a higher degree than they are. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah helps us when we rise to a higher degree than this world. We can research people of this world and understand their nature. And then what we discover is that we are animals. Animals meaning that we have no free choice. We're not free. And really, science too
also discovers that. That as far as we go into analyzing our body and our psychology, different forms of behavior, we see that there is a law working everywhere. And how come a person suddenly has choice, freedom? Freedom of what? We're not in nature that is deterministic, that is like one single law, which is really many laws integrated together as one giant mechanism, integral mechanism. What could freedom be? If I am an element of nature, eventually, what can freedom be about? Our thoughts are interconnected. Our desires are connected. Our actions are interdependent. Where do my thoughts come from? I don't know. Where do my desires come from? I don't know. What I want in the next moment. Our influence over each other. We don't know anything about it. But we can see from life, and it's becoming clearer and clearer, that we're all chained. And we also see this from our regular life. I didn't choose how to be born, where, to what family, in what way, who am I, what am I, what qualities I have, my fate, how my parents educated me, where they put me in childhood. Nothing, none of that. And all the qualities I have, all the inclinations I have, using all of that, I later choose my life. So what do I choose? What I was born with, how I was educated, that's what I keep going with. And even though it seems to me that I do some volitional actions of my own accord, it's really based on some foundation that I didn't put together. So, where is freedom? There is no freedom. When does the human become free? If my entire nature is a will to receive pleasure, in each and every moment in life, I want to enjoy as much as possible in the optimal manner. So, I'm only looking for this optimum, maximum pleasure at minimum suffering, maximum benefit at minimum paying for it. Right? And this formula is the formula of my life. At every moment, I'm busy doing that, preoccupied in that on all levels, my body, my thoughts, my desires, my environment, my relatives, people farther from me, and so on. I'm constantly searching for how can I have optimal pleasure. If that's the way I'm built, then what freedom can we discuss here? I'm simply bringing out this formula, like a robot, a machine, that works according to this formula. When then freedom can begin, if at all? Firstly, if we only have one force, a will to receive, a will to enjoy, an egoistic desire, which is our entire nature, then that's the only thing I have. Freedom can be if I can detach from my desire, but if I do, then where do I go? Do I leave nature? Where do I enter? Is it possible? So, detaching here means entering a second nature, a desire to bestow. There could be such a thing, although we are not familiar with it. And if I enter that will to bestow, let's say that other than the will to receive, where I constantly want that optimal thing for myself, every moment, providing for myself, if I enter that will to bestow, they say such a thing exists.
גם כן כמו איזה מכונה
מקיים הנוסחה הפוכה. אז איפה החירות? האמת שהחירות נמצא בדיוק באמצע, בין שניהם, בין רצון לקבל ורצון להשפיע. כאן בחתך ביניהם בדיוק אני נמצא בחירות. ובמה הוא מתבטא, החירות? שאני משתמש בשניהם, גם ברצון לקבל וגם ברצון להשפיע, בצורה האופטימלית, בשביל המטרה השלישית. מהי המטרה השלישית? להידמות לבורא. אתם רואים שזה לא פשוט לארגן נקודת החופש, שאני צריך להיות בשתי כוחות מנוגדים, בדיוק באמצע ביניהם, שהם יהיו בשליטה שלי, ואז מתוך השליטה הזאת, שאני נמצא בשליטה על שתי כוחות, אני מכוון אותי לאיזושהי דמות, לאיזשהו אתלון, איזושהי צורה העליונה. הפעולה כזאת היא באמת פעולה החופשית, כי אני יכול לכוון את עצמי איך שאני רוצה כלפי משהו העליון שלא מחויב. נו, בוא נקרא מאמר. האמת שהנושא הוא מאוד לא פשוט.
The topic is very complicated. That what seems to us that we are in freedom, that we are free, this is because our lack of understanding, the lack of our perception, the lack of our knowing how much all of us, including all of us, are slaves, and we are completely, entirely performing the commands of nature. So Baal HaSulam writes the following. Chirut, engraved, do not pronounce it Charut, but Chirut, freedom. This means that it is written, write them upon the table of thy heart. Meaning to engrave, you need to engrave it on your heart. Meaning the heart is all of our desires, and we have to organize our desires in such a way that they will become free. Writing is with ink, which is considered darkness, black on top of white, meaning there is darkness and light, which we need to organize such relations between them, which are called writing, meaning a certain form, a special form of light and darkness. And each time a person writes, meaning he finds the right formula between light and darkness, the right equation, meaning he makes choices of how to behave in a right way. This is why it is called letters, the letters of work. It means that one makes decisions about how to behave and then reverses to his evil ways, from bestowal to reception. And then the writing is erased. What he wrote is erased, meaning he's trying to reach the right form of his free choice, and everything disappears. Thus one should constantly write, but it must be in the form of chirut, meaning to try by himself to make the form of a free man. Free can be only one thing, to resemble the Creator. So it will be charut, engraved in his heart, so he cannot erase it any longer. So we come and raise, we write and raise, we write and raise. Every time it is more and more in different manners. This is what we do, ups and downs, ascents and descents. But nothing disappears. This is an accumulative process. And eventually it ends in that from many writings, eventually the writing is written. And that remains engraved on one's heart. Rabash says that they're making cracks on the stony heart until it remains engraved. And then Baal HaSulam writes, he is immediately rewarded with freedom, which is the clue for the discernment of freedom, as much as was written in one's heart. And according to what he had carved on his heart, this is where the salvation is. Meaning, as many cracks he made in his heart of stone, they are filled with light. As much as he was able to permit his will to receive and to make a crack in his will to bestow, it is filled with light. And these cracks, they make the form of letters. And then in such a way, they write the book of Torah. It is written, write it on the tablets of your heart. So if a person passes all the light in the Torah from the first letter, from Bet till Lamed, the last letter in the book of Torah, he is correcting himself and reaches the end of correction. And then he is free from the angel of death.
Freedom of the ego that detaches him from light of life. This is the freedom article that they asked for. Perhaps we'll hear a few questions about this too. You can ask not according to this topic specifically, anything else, just freely. We could, bring more air into the place.
Rav, it's wonderful to be here tonight.
The articles are difficult. I wouldn't choose these articles. Yes.
Great to be here. A minute ago you said, and I just want to make sure it might be a question. You said they reach bestow and then they fall back into reception. Are we saying as we're desiring to bestow, or are we saying once we reach the level of bestow, we can actually fall back into reception? Or is it just the desire to bestow and fall back into reception?
He's right that this thing is kind of mixed up. We only have one desire. A desire to enjoy. However, that will to enjoy, how do I use it? I use it in order to benefit myself. And it always ends up being at the account of something else. It's impossible that it's not. Because to benefit that I receive from outside into myself, that means the will to receive. It's just a plain will to receive, yet on the inanimate level, for instance, it absorbs some force from outside to sustain itself. On the vegetative level, it absorbs energy from outside emitting what is bad for it, absorbing what is good. On the animate level, a creature drinks and eats and absorbs everything it needs from outside and emits waste and even multiplies. So desires to receive are greater and greater as we go from inanimate to vegetative to animate. Yet, all of this is just called a plain desire. Humans too, in our world, they simply want to exist. So, of course, they eat something or someone and murder someone or rape someone or profit off each other. Sometimes, according to laws, they determine for themselves, and in different times of history, their different times have different laws, and it's according to the human ego, each and every one's ego and the collective ego. They determine for themselves that in order to somehow cope with our nature, we'll set up some sort of an agreement of how to behave with each other, and that's how rules are legislated in society. And that is not what we call ego. Because all I want here is simply to cope with my nature. In the environment, nature, society, the ego that we refer to in the wisdom of Kabbalah only begins when a person has a yearning to reach the purpose of creation, the source of life. He wants to know it, to grasp it, to attain it. He received such a desire. And then he's brought into a group and is told, what you want to receive, it's possible, only you don't have the desire for it. The desire to receive the goal is found in the group. Take the desire from them and you'll get the goal. That's it. And I begin to work on connecting with others, having no other choice, because gradually, I begin to realize that without it, I can't reach a goal. I revolve around this condition for years. I don't want that. It is so opposite to connect with others, bond with them, consider them as important, feel them closer. There's nothing I despise more. I'm willing to pay money to work in disseminating, to do whatever you want. But to really bond and connect, it's not to just hug others. To be really tightly, closely connected to others, I can't. This is called the ego that we refer to, the evil inclination. What prevents us from connecting in order to attain the spiritual goal, the Creator, the goal of creation, our source. All the disturbances towards connection, in order to discover the goal in that connection, they are called the evil inclination, the ego. And it isn't anything else. But regular people on the street do to each other, eating each other, that's not what we call ego. We sometimes mention it like that, but this is really nothing. They don't have to correct it even. They don't need to. Only the ego that prevents us from bonding needs to be corrected. Therefore now, in human society, as we begin to see and feel, on one hand, how interdependent and interconnected we have become, and on the other hand, how hateful of each other we are, and we can't connect with each other. Then we begin to discover the true ego, because it is already aimed at the goal. Therefore, the world is truly in crisis. It feels a crisis between the gap between where it is and what it has to be. This current crisis is the appearance of our ego, which will not allow us to bond with each other. What do we do? They, everyone, have to be familiar with us and take an example from us of how to carry out this connection. For lack of any other choice, you have to give them the method of connection, without which the world will simply be totally ruined. The entire evil appears as a resistance to connection. And a person is willing to give anything but going for the connection. It takes many years until one sees there is no choice. I must do that. The light also influences in the meantime, providing him with an appreciation of connection and bestowal. He begins to feel that bestowal can make him feel good, comfortable, full, whole. And thus, with all kinds of egoistic type of attractions, what we call lolishma, from that he comes to lishma, for the Creator's sake. So he gradually gives up more and more and more until he says, I want this.
Сердце — это сумма наших желаний. Здравствуйте, Рав. Здравствуй, мировое сердце. Рав, вы сказали, что свобода находится между желанием получать и желанием отдавать. И обе силы находятся под контролем.
Ravi said that the freedom lies between the force of reception and the force of bestow, and this is under control.
Какие проверки может сделать человек, чтобы убедиться, что он действительно контролирует?
How can one check, verify that he can truly control this?
Обе эти силы, получать и отдавать, они заблуждаются.
Both of these forces, to receive and to bestow, and he's not confusing himself.
There is a situation where a person reaches it, and it's called half good and half bad. As it says that a person should always look at himself as half righteous and half in debt. This is also called the middle third of Tiferet, the Klipat Noga. It's quite an advanced phase. What's relevant for us is that the state also exists for us, because when we scrutinize anything, it's always in the middle. So, in a simple way, not talking about being between the forces of bestowal and reception, darkness and light, so, and the Creator, but in a simple way for us, a person should simply see that in every moment in life, he has a decision to make. How to use this moment, either for advancing or the opposite. That's your choice. So, the choice we have is not between the actual forces of bestowal and reception. Rather, It's in a simpler manner. It's a smaller degree. And it's in terms of time and direction. In the direction of studying and connecting and disseminating, or the other way around. So we're not yet actively having the reins over this process. Yes.
Friends from all over the world sending in their questions. For example, we have Ray here. He's an education center student from Florida. He's asking, so by engraving on our heart Harut, we are awarded freedom Harut. How do we write the desires upon our hearts?
We allow the light to work. As much as I make room for it to work on me, it makes these shapes of the letters in them upon my stony heart. And my entire heart is like one big rock. Imagine yourselves that you have this rock, like granite, yeah, or something very solid. And we have to carve on it all the letters from the first bit of Genesis to the lamed of the word Israel, the end of the Torah. All these letters. Because in fact, the Torah is that code of the correction of the desire by carving and carving all of these tanta, what's called teamim, nekudot, tagim, otiyot. All of that needs to be carved. So then the stony heart stays, yet it's no longer working in order to receive. Now all of it is working in order to bestow. Because all these letters are what? They're the expressions of bestowal from that stony heart. From our nature, that is. Only the first letter of the sheet. In the Zohar, you'll find, in the corrections of the Zohar, you'll find many scrutiny of it.
Miguel from Mexico asks.
What? Yeah, just I just wanted to add that you can find it in the letter articles of Rabbi Menachem Saba in the Zohar.
Miguel from Mexico. What can we do if, despite all of our efforts, we can't build the right environment? We're not able to build the right environment.
There is nothing to do other than that. Try again. You cannot escape that. This is the law of the world. There is no other way. We are simply in a very simple system of nature. Will to receive, will to bestow. The balance between them is the formula of life. That's it. I don't have any other recommendations. But you can create all kinds of means by which you can make things easier, perhaps, convince yourself. But this you'll have to reach. You'll have to become connected. We learn this from the shadowing of the vessels. Only by connecting, we are correcting that connection between us and build it into the world of Insof, which means that one whole kli, vessel, just as it was before the shattering. And the shattering was given to us because by connecting, as we try to connect, as we draw the light to connect us, we thus reach the level of the Creator in our attainment, in our perception, in our control. That's how we become similar, resembling the Creator. It's all consciousness. Yes, please. Or the next article. Let's see. Article 206. This is actually a short one. So, Article 206 in the Book of Shamati. Well, let's read it. I don't see where it is. The matter of faith and pleasure. One will never ask about pleasure. What is the purpose of this pleasure? If I entirely a will to receive, all I want is to receive, to enjoy, to fill myself up with pleasure, like this, so it fills me up, and then I have no room to ask a question. A question can only arise if my will to receive is not full, even by a little, whether it's more or less. If my will to receive is filled half, and half of it is empty, and if the half that's empty, the part that's empty is bigger than the part that is full, or if it's the other way around, sorry, then I somehow agree. I try to add more fulfillment, but if the fulfillment is very small, then I begin to crave more fulfillment. If I'm truly not fulfilled, then I feel suffering, meaning there are gradations, different levels, measures, to what point I feel that I'm full, that I'm not so full, that I'm suffering even more, and then even it all depends how much of my total vessel is fuller or emptier. If this vessel is completely full, I got no questions. To the point that, to the extent that this vessel becomes empty, that empty part is what I ask about. Why is this empty? How can I fill it up? And that is the only thing that my question is about. Only for us. After all this in our world to receive, and many different opportunities to fulfill ourselves, it seems to us that we go through a whole experience of life and calculations and occurrences, but the truth is, all I'm asking about is how do I fulfill myself to the point of being totally full. That's our life in total. Very primitive, very simple, and actually humiliating. Yet, that's our machine, that's how we work. So, we can see this in children, in animals, it's more visible. See it on ourselves, less, but that's nature. So it says, one will never ask about pleasure. What is the purpose of this pleasure? Because if the pleasure fulfills me, that's the purpose. If even the smallest thought about its purpose appears in one's mind, it is a sign that this is not a true pleasure, meaning that one still lacks something. This is because pleasure fills all the empty places. And then, of course, there is no vacant place in one's mind to ask about its purpose. Because our purpose is to be filled. And if one does ask about the purpose, it is a sign that the pleasure is incomplete, since it has not filled all the places, all the will to receive of the person. And we need to understand that this process is continuing until the end of correction. Every time our will to receive will grow more, so every time I have more questions. And it doesn't grow in size, it grows in quality. So I also ask more essential, meaningful questions. And that creates evolution. In our society, in science, the human family, technology, everything, all of this seems to bring me fulfillment, these levels of evolution, but in fact, is in greater emptiness eventually, which brings more questions. And then we evolve with this growing, evolving will to receive, and all the pieces of it become interconnected and intricately intertwined to the point that we are desperate because we are unable to fulfill ourselves ever. And it's the other way around. We are sitting next to our broken vessel, crying. And that is really the situation of the current crisis. That's where salvation will come from. Because as we begin from this desperate state to discover the ability to fulfill ourselves in a method that is opposite. The goal is fulfillment. I want to be fulfilled. Only I have examined myself for thousands of years of development, seeing that fulfilling myself directly this way, like a kid grabbing everything, I just can't. And this is how I discover a different method here, that by bestowing, I can enjoy and fill myself. How does it happen? When I give to someone I love, I feel fulfillment from it. Just like a mother towards a baby. Just like when we love someone. So my problem is, if so, I don't have a problem here. I can fulfill the whole world with my desire. The problem is that I hate them, that I don't love them. So, if I acquire love towards everyone, then I feel myself whole, unboundedly. I feel eternal, whole, just as the Creator. The only problem is love. So how do I change the hatred to love? I can't. The light can do it. So our problem is not the fulfillment. The problem is not anything else. It's only inviting that light that will bring us love towards others. Love thy friend as thyself. And then, to the extent that I have love towards others, and I relate to them with love, this is what fulfills me. That's fulfillment. Infinitely. A sense of eternal, infinite life. Unbounded. With that, we We'll say goodbye to our friends all over the world. And we actually went through three articles together today. So, well, we'll do more next time. For now, let's sing something. Yeah?
Said, I wonder if we could unite humanity into a single man with one heart and one body. I'll cover him with love. It's the only thing we must learn. 'Cause we came from one point into this point we will return.